Now, the appearance of the Semites in this old world of the reverence of the goddess is shown in a new kind of mythology. The great story of Marduk, the masculine solar and heaven god, who goes against the goddess of the abyss, Tiamat, who is the grandmother of all the gods. The male pantheon has assumed control, and now they are the ones who are going to create the world. And what happened? Tiamat comes out of the abyss. Marduk goes against her, and she is called a demon. She's actually the mother of the gods. He kills her. He cuts her up. He makes the heaven out of the upper part of her body, the hell out of the underworld out of the abyss. He creates men from her blood and so forth and so on. Well, that's a nice thing to do to mother. And this is the beginning of the masculine assumption of the role. Well, I thought, well, if he waited a couple of minutes, she was going to do it anyhow. She does become the world. And then I thought, well, good mothers let their little boys do things like this. Give him a sense of being the one who's doing it, supporting him. So she gives her body willingly, but makes it look as though he were doing it. Now this is the way a woman, if you want to do it, can interpret all masculine heroic acts. They are simply doing as your muscular agent the thing that you want done anyhow. And these things are going to keep the world going nicely. But the next interesting thing about this is, and this is something else we learned from psychology, where the male comes in, you have division. Where the woman comes in, you have union. For instance, it's the wife of the buffalo who unites what appear to be opposites. The mother brings together all her children. It's with the realization of the father that separation and differentiation comes in. And so, with these masculine Semitic mythologies, we have a separation of the individual, and this is one of the most important, decisive motifs in the history of mythology. The eternal life, that oneness with the universe and all, is no longer ours. We are separated from God. God is separated from his world. Man is turned against nature. Nature is turned against man. You do not have this in the mother mythologies. This comes in with the masculine Semitic mythologies. Now, there's another interesting thing about the Semitic mythologies. All other mythologies that I know have as their primary divinities the divinities of nature, the gods of the heavens and of the earth, and the powers of nature, which are within us as well as out there. And in those mythologies, the tribal ancestor is always a secondary god. In the Semitic mythologies, this situation is reversed. The prime divinity in all the Semitic traditions is the local ancestral divinity. Now, when you have the same divinities as everybody else, you can say, he whom you call Zeus, we call Indra. But when your principal divinity is your local tribal divinity and his laws, you cannot say this. And so we have a pattern of exclusivism here. We have a pattern of social emphasis, the social laws, and we have an anti-nature accent. The whole history of the Old Testament is Yahweh against the nature cults. The goddess is called the abomination, and she and her divinities are called demons. They're not given the credit of being divine. And along with that comes the feeling that divine life is not within me. Divinity is out there. And the attitude of prayer is this one instead of this one. In the old days, it's turning inward to the divine that's in. After this, the divine's out there. And how do you get to it? By means of this particularly endowed social group. Now, this is a masculine emphasis against the goddess emphasis. When it comes up individually, so that you're over emphasizing the father role, you repudiate nature, you repudiate woman, This is what Nietzsche calls the Hamlet experience. Bowing to the father and Ophelia, you can go drown yourself. Oh, that this too solid flesh would melt. One hates one's body, one hates nature, one wants to get away from it. This is completely opposite to the attitude of the goddess cults. Now this comes in with the Semites. In the biblical tradition, which is the last great tradition of the Semitic line, there is not even a goddess in the tradition. There is no goddess. Here's a father god with no mother goddess. It's a very strange thing. What happens to the mother goddess? She is reduced to the elemental level. She is the cosmic water that's there where God's spirit hovers above the water. He is given the human personification. She is not. The tohu wabohu chaos is exactly Tiamat, the goddess of the abyss, who now has been deprived even of her personality. Now this brings a terrific stress into our culture. And when you realize also that in the biblical tradition, in the Hebrew tradition, the covenant is symbolized in the circumcision, you can see that woman is out altogether. And so we have the most radical split here in the history of civilizations and mythologies anywhere between the masculine power, which is given all power, and the female, which is deprived of it, and her world, the world of nature and of beauty, impugned. Even beauty is rejected in this tradition as a distraction, as something seductive.